Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest and our good friend. He's chief economist at the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB, that organization you've heard me speak of many times before. Dr. William Dunkelberg is also a professor of economics at Temple University, and he's also our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
A pleasure, as always.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Folks, as I told you earlier, Bill has been conducting a survey of small business owners every month for several decades, for over 30 years now, and he's got an incredible amount of information here that he accumulates every month, but as you can imagine, a pretty darn important perspective on the history of small business and how they feel about what's going on in the marketplace. And so once a month, he also joins us. He's gracious enough to join us and bestow upon us the information that he's learned from polling the small business market sector of the marketplace to find out what's going on. And, Bill, the report we're working on now is the December report, and it's good news, isn't it?
It's really good news. We, compute an index based on 10 of the questions in our survey that we send to a random sample of our 600,000 members every month. And those 10 questions, the sum together, make up the Small Business Optimism Index. That hit the fourth highest level that we've seen in the 30 years we've been doing the survey, looking really good.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm not sure we've ever actually identified before what those 10 questions are, but let me give you an idea, folks. The first one's about employment. Do you plan on increasing employment? The next one is capital outlays. Do you plan on spending money or not? Are you increasing inventories? What do you expect the economy to do? And how are sales? What are you doing with your inventory? Are you happy with your current inventory? Do you have any openings? How are your credit situation? And do you plan to expand your business? And how much are you earning? How are your earnings doing?
That's all 10. You got them.
Yeah, and so it's just a little, basically covering the waterfront there for small business. And Bill, why do we have such good news this time?
Well, you know, I guess one perspective could be it's overdue, but the economy's been growing, of course, since 9/11, so we haven't really had a down economy. It's basically been growing less quickly than people expected, but really, way back when, in 2001, I and some of my colleagues tried to remind everyone that you had such a shallow recession, can't really have a huge amount of growth after that. If you want to have strong growth coming out of a recession, the recession has to be a deep one.
Right.
And, of course, we didn't have a deep one. We had the mildest one in modern history. So it's kind of like going through a saucer. You know, you can't go down very far by the time you're in the middle of a saucer.
Right.
When you come out, it's pretty shallow coming out. And that's the kind of a recovery that we had. So we really spent quite a few years just not growing very dramatically. And then, of course, a huge amount of stimulus we've had from the Fed and from the federal government has really put the economy on a faster track now.
Well, now, with all this good news about the economy, with this positive outlook and these good feelings that your respondents have given you, obviously none of these people have been watching the Democrat debates.
Well, I don't think many people watch them at all, but it's probably good.
But if you did...
Like me, they don't bother to pay attention until it gets right down to the end, and when it gets serious. So there's no sense in listening to eight people that are not really relevant, I guess. We'll find out who they pick, and then we'll start listening to whoever the Democrats pick and listen to W and see what they have to say.
But if you did listen to them, you'd get the idea that the economy wasn't doing so well.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And, of course, about the only statistic the Democrats seem to be focusing on is one that everybody's looking at. That's the payroll employment survey.
Yeah.
And just to give you a perspective, from November of 2002 to November of 2003, the payroll survey says we've lost 250,000 jobs just in that 12-month period.
Mm-hmm.
The household survey, which is what we use to determine the unemployment rate, says we're up 1.5 million jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the discrepancy between these two government numbers has never been larger. It is not yet reconciled, but I tend to go with the household survey for two reasons. One, the payroll survey, which gets all the attention, doesn't include self-employed people, new businesses getting started, doesn't include the agriculture sector, which is doing really well. So it misses a whole lot of stuff.
When you call somebody,
thing that I look at is this: if the economy is really growing as fast as we think it is, the 8% GDP in the third quarter, and so on and so forth. You know, we say that's productivity, but you really can't grow GDP that fast without hiring people. So,
Bill, hold on to that thought. I'm sorry, we got to take a quick break, but this is fascinating information. Stay with us, folks. We're going to plug right back in after these messages. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, who's the chief economist with the NFIB. NFIB.com, by the way, is their website. And you may be visited any time in this year from a guy or a lady who's a representative of the NFIB. They're not going to try to sell you anything. They're not going to try to sell you any kind of insurance or anything else. All they're going to do is talk to you about the work that the NFIB does to protect you and me in Washington and in our state houses around the country, to protect us from government people who would like to, well, they just want to do their own thing, and sometimes that hurts small businesses. And the NFIB helps small business owners, helps protect us from those folks, and they also recommend good small business policy whenever they can. And so I encourage you to do what I did many, many years ago, and that's become a member of the NFIB. Bill, you were talking to us about you remember where you picked where you were? I had to interrupt you, and I've forgotten exactly where you were in the...
Well, I remember, thank goodness.
Good. Well, good. Well, you're just gonna let me swing on the gallows here, huh?
No, we'll pick it up. We were trying to look at we were talking about the Democrats' complaints about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, they focused on jobs. And the two measures the government has for jobs, one is the payroll survey, which is essentially a sample of 400,000 firms. And we basically say, how many people are on your payroll? Now, those firms tend to be larger firms, and we get the reports up to the state employment agencies, you know, and aggregate them and find out what happens on the payroll survey. Then there's the household survey, which is a sample of 60,000 randomly selected American households, and we just find out what the employment status is of everybody in each household. That's where we get the unemployment rate that's published every month.
Mm-hmm.
That's another important statistic. Those two surveys give very discrepant views about the job market. The payroll survey says we've lost 250,000 jobs in the last year, and the household survey says we're up 1.5 million. And of course, the Democrats are all using the payroll survey because that serves their purpose.
Well, and the thing is, Bill, is there also has been plenty of reports showing that that lots and lots of people have said, you know what, I can't find a job, but maybe I don't want a job anymore. Maybe I want to start my own business. Maybe I want to become an independent contractor. And there have been reports, as you've seen, I'm sure this one of them I saw in the Wall Street Journal, about that very issue. And the thing is nobody needs to look at that as a bad thing. This is actually a very good thing.
Well, it's certainly been good for America. I mean, the fact
that
we're more entrepreneurial than any other country in the world for all practical purposes is part of the explanation of why we do so well here in the
mm-hmm.
United
States. So be careful, folks, when you hear anybody, any politician or any report talking about how bad the job growth is, because, you know, as I said about myself, Bill, there was a time in the 80s when I said, you know what, I'm going to create a job, and I started my own business. And I created one job by starting my own business.
None of those are, of course, included in the payroll survey. Entrepreneurs aren't on anybody's payroll, and so they miss them. And especially when the economy starts to swing like this, economy, then you got a lot of new starts and a lot of self-employed people, and they just don't get them counted. But the household survey that calls up your house and says, you know, who's in your household and what's their employment status, there we count them, and that's why I think the employment survey gives a much better picture of the employment situation. And that's much more consistent with the strong growth, because as we were saying before the break, 8% GDP growth is great, but 9% productivity growth, which is the computation we got using the payroll survey in the denominator for hours, 9% productivity growth doesn't really happen. I mean, that's too good. 10% a year increase in output per person doesn't happen, which makes you think that we're probably really hired. We've hired more people than the payroll survey shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you take my situation, look at, you know, I said I created one job back in the 80s. Well, if you take into consideration my direct employment and the people who support us directly, who work for other people, are what I call vendor partners, who are, you know, really outsourcing the outsourcing we do with other people. You know, we probably direct and indirect, you know, we're probably up to about 20-25 employees now.
That's job creation. That's where job growth comes from. You don't get AT&T and General Motors increasing employment over the years. In fact, you know, they tend to decrease employment because they're very capital intensive, and there's a lot of productivity in those big industries. So they don't add to employment. It's people like you who grow from 1 to 2, 2 to 5, 5 to 10, and you 10 to 10, you know, 1 to 25 over the period. That's where job generation occurs.
Bill, in December, the number that you gave, I don't know if you mentioned this or not early, in the very beginning, but the number, the indicator, the optimism indicator, was actually almost as high as the record, wasn't it?
That's right. There were only three higher readings, and those all occurred in 1983, just before that big expansion got underway. So it's really, you know, it's only a point off of the record high, and that's, you know, that's about as good as it gets.
One of the things that I noticed that was very noticeable in your report this month that we haven't seen much of lately in the last 3 or 4 years, and that's pricing power.
Yeah, well, we've seen a couple of interesting things in the survey. One is, of course, we do see, compared to early in the year, where we had more firms cutting prices than raising prices, that's now turned around, and we had 6 percentage points more firms reporting higher selling prices than reductions. So that really has shown up in the bottom line. Earnings trends are looking better.
Mm-hmm. So stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come right back with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg. Bill, we're talking about pricing power and how that's up about 6%, and as I remember, and the fact that there is pricing power at all is noteworthy, I think, let alone the percentage. And the thing is, Bill, when we understand that you were talking about how this affects the bottom line. Not only, hopefully, does that pricing power go to the bottom line, but when you consider that any small business that's still in business in 2004, after the 3 years we've gone through, even though, as you say, the recession was shallow, we've still had some tough times in a lot of ways and for a lot of reasons. And so any business that's still around is probably leaner and meaner than they were before, a lot more efficient. And that means that any price increase that they can have, more of that is going to manifest on the bottom line than, say, it would have a few years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that we spent the last couple of years, you know, rationalizing our organizations. 1995 to 2000, we were too busy bringing in revenue to really, you know, kind of fix anything. But now, since then, we've had time to really improve and make our operations a little more fit. So that does mean that whenever you get extra revenue, you know, more of it goes to the bottom line. And, of course, there are more consumers out there spending now, and that's good news. And that means that we feel, it's pretty clear last quarter, for example, we felt less compelled to cut prices to bring customers in than a year before. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot less price cutting in the fourth quarter than there was a year before. And that, of course, is good, too. Even if you don't raise prices, if you don't cut prices, that's a good deal for the bottom line.
Exactly. Here's an interesting quote from your report. You say that NFIB owners reported 33 consecutive months of inventory decumulation.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, we ask each month whether or not their inventories are higher or lower than in the period before. And, of course, the net percent who say higher has been negative now for 33 straight months. We've had more firms say, I've cut my inventory, than have told us that they've built inventory. That's a long stretch, although it's still not as long as the 41 months we saw back in the 1991 recession. No surprise that that's happening, especially with the fourth quarter, because when growth suddenly accelerates, of course, then your shelves get emptied out, but you don't have the time, you can't replace the stuff immediately. So no surprise we saw inventory decumulation in the fourth quarter. Consumers bought all kinds of stuff, took it off the shelf.
But, Bill, isn't this also a trend where do you not see this as a trend where small business owners are finally getting the message that just-in-time inventory practices work?
Well, I think they work because the technology is a lot better for them, for small firms. Now, they can all have the Walmart technology, which is where they can barcode everything and scan it. Their computer knows exactly when it's gone, and when it gets low enough, they can reorder more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting better at it. The inventory sales ratio for the economy has been trending down for decades. And so we're running at historic low levels now.
Which I believe is one of the reasons why our last two recessions have been shallower.
Right. You don't get those inventory adjustments that tend to exacerbate, any downturn in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But it's pretty clear that, we don't have enough stuff to handle the new level of sales that we're seeing coming in the front door. So we had a near record percentage planning to increase inventories on purpose over the next 6 months, and that's certainly good news for GDP and for manufacturers.
Which is where I was going. My next question, what are your respondents saying about 2004?
Well, if you go by the index, we're going to have the best economy we've had in 20 years. That would be since the early 1980s in terms of growth. We certainly have balance in the growth. They're happy about that. We apparently are finally running out of employees, so we had a big surge in the percentage of firms planning to hire. Up to 20% mm-hmm. of them plan to expand employment, and we need more capacity, so we had a big jump in the percent planning to make capital outlays. So it looks real good.
My company just hired a new employee. So we're and for a small business, one new employee for a small business is a big deal.
Right, if it's a net new employee. We have 50% of our firms are planning to hire somebody, but 20% plan when the dust clears. 20% are planning to actually have more employees than they had when they started, and that's the job creation.
Absolutely. No, that's exactly right. Bill Dunkelberg, thank you very much for being here. Good job today, as always, and we're already looking forward to next month.
Jim, thank you very much.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, Chief Economist with the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. Don't forget their website, nfib.com. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.